This is Ten Radio, community radio for the Ten Parishes on 105.3 FM. Or you can hear us on the web at tenradio.org.
You're listening to the community show on Ten Radio, broadcasting live from the Taunton Flower Show 2016. And we're now delighted to have on Alice, our outside broadcast vehicle, the chief guest of the Flower Show this year, Pippa Greenwood. Good morning, Pippa.
Good morning.
It's really nice to meet you. Lovely to see you in person because, like most of us, we've seen you on TV, we've heard your voice for many years on Gardener's Question Time on the radio. But it's really lovely to see you.
Well, it's gorgeous to be here because, you know, I've got to confess something, though. This is my first time at the Taunton Flower Show.
Oh, shock.
And
horror.
I wish I'd come before because, I mean, so far I've had a bit of a sort of official look around and this, it's just oozing with lovely atmosphere and gorgeous places to go and wander around and have a look and do some retail therapy, I can feel, coming on as well.
It is essential by the end of day two, not that you're here until the end of day two, but it is necessary to sort of offload the bank account somewhat. But, you know, this is what you do. Yeah, and the plants are lovely. Some of the plants
are phenomenal. I was judging in the floral marquee earlier this morning and, oh, I mean, that's a real privilege because you're in there and it's empty except for these fantastic flowers and plants and the way people have displayed them and the quality of the plants, phenomenal.
Mm. It is impressive because it's been a sort of strange year, but of course every year's a strange year. And we'll get on to the horticultural nub of you and your career in a second, but it's been incredibly dry. The spring was dry. We didn't have any sunshine. There's been greyness throughout the whole of this year. And yet, I think from what I've been told, the entries are up in the competition marquee massively, particularly in the veggies.
I have yet to visit the veggies, but I am really looking forward to that because you're right, it's been a very strange year. And I think the fact that we kind of didn't get summer until incredibly late and then it was full on
for two days
and extremely hot and extremely dry, and we've had a lot of what I call useless rain, so rain that wets the foliage but doesn't actually get down to the roots.
That's
which from a gardener's perspective is infuriating.
It really is. It still doesn't actually answer the question of not watering.
No, it doesn't answer that.
You're still going to get the hose
in. It just encourages all your diseases and things.
Well, let's go straight into diseases. Now, your whole career, your education and so on, has been in the pathology of plants.
That's right. I mean, I started off as a botanist, so that was the clean part, I suppose. And then, yes, you're right, I then went on to specialise in crop protection. So that's the bugs, the beasties, the weeds, all the what's gone wrong side of gardening. And I am fascinated by nasty things, I have to say.
Do you like that reputation as being known for the lady who'll know everything that went wrong and the negative things and the rotting leaves and the drooping buds?
Yeah, well, somebody has to do it. No, it does fascinate me, and yes, occasionally it's funny because you get called things like Dr. Death and Quincy and all sorts.
But
I mean, really, things could be worse than that. And I think you've got to be honest with gardening. It's massively beautiful. It's incredibly good for your mind and your body, and it's incredibly productive in so many ways, but there are problems. And so if I can go in there and look at the things with six legs that munch the hold, or the things that have made your petunias wilt, and help someone out with that, I love it.
And have you changed? Because your career, starting as a botanist, I suppose in those days, in earlier days, you might have thought, well, my career might be in research or writing or something or other, but you've become a broadcast journalist and television and radio has been completely part of your life from really early on.
Yes, well, I was really lucky because I've got a genuine passion for anything natural, really. So that starts with wildlife and works upwards and sideways. So as far as I'm concerned, anything to do with plants, animals, fascinates me, and the more anyone could tell me about it, the better. So to start off as a botanist was lovely because it meant that I've got a good grounding in the understanding of how things work, if you like. But Then I spent just over 11 years working at the Royal Horticultural Society's garden at Wisley as the plant pathologist. And that was a mind-opener. It really was, because the range of things that people will grow and then, of course, the range of problems that they'll get is phenomenal.
And of course, Wisley is the centre of the earth insofar as, I mean, the RHS in this country and so on, it's that recognised body where whatever you're going to be doing will be at the best and highest level. I mean, you're going to be working with the most interesting people and knowledgeable people, and then seeing the actual plants growing out there.
Fantastic place to work. I mean, where better could you spend your lunch hour than wandering around Wisley? It was a lovely bit of time there. But then, yes, you're right, freelance work called, and the pressure of sort of everything. I like a bit of pressure, actually, but the quantity of work that was coming my way meant that, you know, and I had been there 11 years, so really it was time then to go fully freelance. And I've been really lucky how it's worked out, because I've been able to combine, do you know what I really love, as well as plants, people, nice people, only of course, and most gardeners are superbly nice.
Yes.
And so to be able to combine, I really like communicating, I like talking, I like trying to encourage people, and I like trying to solve other people's problems as well as my own. And so it's just been fantastic that I could combine all those passions, if you like, into one career.
Because you started at the top, if you like, working with Alan Titchmarsh on television. Now, I mean, straight in at that level is pretty good for a young person like that, starting on a career.
The funny thing was, it was all an accident. I had no aspirations in that direction whatsoever. And
so
in fact, I didn't even own a television. And I'd never...
Did you not?
No, really. How funny. Fun. I was brought up without a television because books were more interesting, was the idea. My parents hired a TV for the moon landing when I was tiny.
Oh.
And it was quite funny because they sent it back early because they reckoned everyone was becoming too, or one of my sisters in particular, television-centric. They didn't rate it. So it went back. And then to be asked to do television was really funny because I'd never really watched it, let alone.
And you hadn't got
part
that sort of
it.
History of whatever had been happening in the 60s or something, like a lot of people had.
Really funny.
That probably stood you in good stead because you were fresh and new and a fresh face to the screens. But how did it happen then that you started with Alan, and what was that like?
Well, Gina, while I was working at Wisley, one of the highlights, really, and the day-to-day job was fascinating, as I said, because plants, gardeners, bugs, diseases, what more could a woman want, really? But the Chelsea Flower Show was, needless to say, something that I really loved every year. And I used to go up there for the entire week, as did everyone doing a similar job, you know, the entomologist who was the bug specialist, the botanists who were the plant ident specialists and so forth. And we used to sit up there in a kind of elongated Punch and Judy booth, really, and people would come along and ask questions.
And they bring their rotting leaves.
That's right.
And you have to figure it out.
And you have to work out, and you sit there. And it was funny because it was a wooden sort of structure, nothing like the posh things they have now. And so I sat there under the label saying diseases. But I did sit next to pests, and it was so lovely. So I'd spend the week labelled diseases and getting all these fascinating samples in from a constant stream of visitors to Chelsea. And it was while I was there that they had been spying on me and asked me if I wanted to, well, no, they told me actually I was going to be interviewed for program called Reflections of Gold, I think it was, which was Alan hosting it. And the next day he came and interviewed me, and it was the first time I'd met him as a non-telly person or seen him, but he seemed like a nice guy. And do you know, he's even lovelier than he seemed.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Is
no
he?
He's super person and really nice to somebody new and starting out, as I
and
was then
encouraging them,
yeah,
and helping
and
them.
Very good at relaxing a nervous, didn't know what was going on, as I was at the time. So fantastic. And that's how it started. And then the producer of Daytime Live, who was involved with that, said, did I want to join Alan doing some sort of problem-solving garden chat bits? So we did those. And then he moved to Gardener's World, the producer, and said, did I want to come too? So I was still working at Wisley. But
how did you fit that in? I mean, if you're
still... It didn't work, really. I was very... I think it was lucky. I was in my 20s at the time and quite unstoppable energy-wise. And so basically, I used to... All my annual leave went on filming days. And then in the evenings, I'd give talks. And then in the middle of the night, I'd write articles.
So when did you sleep? Not a lot.
Not a lot, you know. But I did buy my first dishwasher on the strength of a book contract.
I love it. A lot of people might go out and buy, you know, a music system or a TV. You bought it.
This was coping practicalities of what do I hate and what takes up a ridiculous amount of time in life.
And it's boring.
And it's terribly boring. Yes. I can't say it does anything. Yes, I bought a dishwasher.
Oh, how fun. So when you started on Gardener's World, how does that work? We all watch Gardener. Well, hopefully everyone watches Gardener's World, but how does it work filming-wise? And you weren't on every single week.
No, but at the beginning, actually, I was on quite a bit. But in those days, it was still film. So it was all done with a massive great van and, you know, the scanner and lots of cables and stuff. And we used to go up to Barnsdale, Jeff Hamilton's garden.
Of course.
And so that was baptism by fire, really, because there was no training or anything. Mm. It was a case of... The first week, actually, they got Anne Swithenbank, who was a friend of mine... And already a presenter on the programme, to interview me. So that made it easier, and she talked to me about some, I don't know, seasonal pests and things. And then the following week, I was sort of unceremoniously dumped in a flower bed and told to get on with it.
But you, apart from talking to Anne, you had no training at all. You didn't have any... They didn't show you techniques and
not
all of that?
Not at all. The only thing I remember being told was that I had to make sure my voice didn't get too high. Because I gather female voices have a tendency to do that, presumably, particularly if they're scared. and I was terrified. And also not to stop. On the basis that it could be edited.
Keep it going.
Yes, regardless. Okay. And in fact, I remember a very funny occasion. It must have been about my second or third week on my own presenting. And the main thing was, you look at the camera, you look friendly, and you don't pause. And... there wasn't anyone there with me other than the cameraman, and everybody else was in the scanner doing whatever they do in the scanner other than drink tea. And so at quite a distance, and they said, you mustn't just stop. And I was talking about a disease on a shrub, and the main thrust of what I was saying was it was really bad this year because the weather had been so mild and it was so warm for the season. I was crouching down in the flower bed talking about this shrub and how bad the rust was on it. And I said, yeah, it's because it's been so mild. And I was talking about how the disease developed and what you could do. And as I just got into full flood and it started to snow.
No. Oh, no.
And so I thought, well, they said I mustn't stop. So I carried on regardless. And it was really funny because actually they were really mean and they let me carry on for a full 20 minutes.
20
which when
minutes? Oh, that's
a phenomenal
forever.
Amount of time. And I was really struggling because the whole thing was based around the mild weather and the snow was getting heavier and heavier. And it was about kind of February time.
But
they were
pause.
Winding me up.
They didn't.
And
you didn't pause. You didn't stop. You carried on
until the cameraman completely lost it because he knew what they were up to. They were seeing what I was made of. But
yes,
it was great fun. And then to go on to Gardener's Question Time on Radio 4 is, you know, the pinnacle as far as I'm concerned, because that's pure British gardening excellence. It really is.
Gardener's Question Time. Now tell us how Gardener's Question Time works, because again, we all listen to Gardener's Question Time, don't we?
Yes. Well, you jolly well should do actually, because in terms of a good list. Listen, and the advice, you know, it's great. And I can say that because I'd never say I know everything, but we are a team. So it means that my weak bit is somebody else's strength, and hopefully my strength might be somebody else's weakness, so we all get a bit of say.
And the chairman can juggle according to the question.
Tries to keep us in order, yes.
Tries to keep you in order. Where does the show... I mean, the show goes all over.
Yes, we travel all over the country,
so
basically.
So you literally are driving to, you know, North Wales or Truro
yes.
or wherever.
In fact, we're going to Snowdonia next month, I think, and I was in Nottingham recently, and we were in Edinburgh for the garden party. And so we do move around quite a bit, and occasionally, if I'm really lucky, I get to do a recording in Hampshire, where I come
where
from, or Sussex, or Dorset, or somewhere relatively close.
Not a madly distant
but,
place.
No, it's lovely, and again, I like it because it's ever so slightly scary. And being a little bit scared is great, and it's scary.
It's live. I mean, you're being thrown the questions now.
It's been recorded as live, and we don't get to see the questions in advance. And that's what I quite like, because I think if you know what the question's going to be, it's very easy to go away and kind of research it to a level where you have the potential to become boring, because it's really good to know what you're talking about. My deal is, if I don't know, then I shut up. But I think it brings in a good level of spontaneity, and everyone then is more inclined to chip in. So,
and
yes.
Also, if you do all the burning up ahead of time, it sounds like you have.
It sounds like you have, that's...
As you say, there's no spontaneity.
You might as well go away and read a book, and actually, I think not knowing the questions makes it, well, yes, it makes it more fun, actually, yes, in a weird way.
Did you have the chance to work with John Cushney?
Oh, yes. John,
he's
lovely.
I loved his voice. He was so irreverent and funny, and everything that probably one is told not to be.
No, not told not to be on Gardener's Quest in Time. Everybody loved John, because he was wicked in the best possible way, and with that, an incredibly kind, lovely bloke. But then, you know, we had Geoffrey Smith as well, one of my all-time heroes, my sort of surrogate father-uncle figure. You know, he was a total font of gardening knowledge, life knowledge, and lovely to have as your sort of protector. You should have seen him looking after me when I was heavily pregnant. He was a super chap as well. So,
And the panel now, does that sometimes include Christine Walken?
Yes, Christine
funny.
Does sometimes. Yes, she is, and she's good fun as well. Yes. Yeah,
I love her voice as well. Again, a wonderfully regional accent, and she just says something. I can remember listening not that long ago to Gardener's Question Time, and the question was asked. And she just said, the thing just needs cutting down, you know. And it was lovely, because it was obviously spontaneous.
Yes.
There was no point in flogging a dead horse with whatever the questioner was.
Yes, just get on and do it. And
sort it out and start again.
That's very much Christine. And but that's the lovely thing. We're all different. We all, you know, have got different approaches to things, but all with a passion for gardening. And, you know, similarly Matt Biggs, you know, you get him involved in some plant that he absolutely adores, you'll never hear the end of it in the best sort of way. And great. And it's a lovely job. You know, I thoroughly look forward to going off to the recordings, and that's pretty lucky, isn't it, really?
It's very nice. I can remember Chris Beardshaw as well answering a question wonderfully by saying, when he was asked about a tree peony, because it was getting too large and can I prune it, he said, no, move house. Don't touch the tree peony. I thought that was nice.
No, but that's the great thing. And as I say, we are a team. So again, you know, there's often, say, somebody like Bunny or Chris on the team who are very much garden design orientated, but have got a real genuine deep knowledge and love of plants as well. So it's not like they're just, as it were, designers, or I'm just a plant pathologist or a mad keen vegetable grower, as I am. Everybody's got their own particular passions, but an overall kind of love of it as well. So, no, really nice.
And is it possible for you to say whether you like radio or TV more?
I think I really enjoyed the time that I did on TV, but what I love about working on Gardener's Question Time is the fact that it's the top gardening media programme. It outstrips Gardener's World in terms of longevity and people's love for it. And it's, I think radio is much less fickle than television, and you can be much more spontaneous, because it's never a case of, oh, take it from this angle and this angle again, and oh, the aeroplane went, you know. We just, to an extent, carry on regardless. And of course sometimes you have to have retakes and things, but it's much more from the heart, I think. I adore my radio time. I did love telly, and I do occasional bits now, and I really enjoy it, but Yes, I love radio.
I think it's the thing. And what you, I find you listen more on radio to the voice, and your voice is lovely. As Penny's just said, you've got a smiley voice and a smiley face, and that comes over on radio more because you're not distracted by the visual of a TV programme. And it's much more, it's a closer relationship with the person you're listening to, I think.
I feel it really is, and it's lovely because I still very much get people coming talking to me saying, oh, you know, I loved watching you on television, and why aren't you on television again, and all those things, and that's really nice and very complimentary. But on the other hand, it's gorgeous when you feel you've almost got a relationship with someone when you've had a radio relationship with them.
Now, Pippa, tell us before we finish, because I know that you're flying off on your busy schedule to go and do other things.
There's so much to do, that's the thing. I tell you, I bet I'm not going to see it all today.
It's I fear you won't. Hopefully dipping into a lot of the best bits. But before we finish, tell us what your garden is like.
Right now it's in desperate need of attention because here I am, and this is the busy period in the garden, but also for work and shoemaker's shoe problem. Definitely I think it does suffer sometimes, but I'm really lucky. I live in a very beautiful wild bit of Hampshire, and so what I always think to myself is if the garden could do with tidying up, the view further on is even better. But yes, I mean, we've sort of developing it gradually over the years, and I've been there a good few years already. But I'm a very keen vegetable grower. And so I love growing lots of different vegetables, really for family consumption and sometimes with a bit of experimentation as well. So there's quite a bit of vegetables, quite a bit of fruit, as well as some pretty bits, but certainly lots of work in hand as well, if I'm honest.
And there never isn't.
No, there never isn't. But that's part of the pleasure. And I think as long as you accept that,
then you
do have to accept it, and I can accept it, but I would certainly prefer to be outside than vacuuming the carpet if I had to choose.
Gosh, yes. And your soil, I think is heavy clay.
Yes, and very alkaline. So, but clay soil is lovely and fertile, but it's not great for the lower back. it's a good soil, and as I say, fantastic surroundings on the Hampshire Hangers, which I love because I'm a great fan of nature and seriously into wildlife conservation and things. So for me, it's a kind of extension of gardening. And although I do sometimes turn into Mrs. McGregor when the rabbit gets in the vegetable plot, and I did start to think some unvegetarian thoughts about the deer that took the beans down twice last year. You know, it's all part of it. And I love it.
Yes. And I know before we finish that Anton has a question for you that I know you'll be able to answer, because you will. But Anton, what is your question for Pippa?
This is a real GQT question. I'm sorry about that, Pippa. I hope you don't mind. We have grown for many years courgettes, and they're brilliant. Just this year, we suddenly start getting these things shaped like footballs. And they are delicious. I mean, they're amazing because, of course, they're so easy to stuff, a bit like a sort of long marrow. And indeed, sometimes we have had these sort of long marrow type courgettes. But is that a particular type of...
There are some lovely spherical courgettes. There's one of my favourites called Tondo de Nice or Tondo de Nice, depending on where you buy the fruits from. And if you... I don't know whether if they're pure, proper... big tennis balls and upwards size, and it might be a variety. Do you know what the variety was sold to you as, or did you just sort of pop it in the ground? If it's really lovely and spherical, it is probably one of the spherical varieties. You can get a golden one, a yellow one called, I think it's called golden balls actually, which is interesting. But I don't like golden courgettes as much as the green ones. Right, they're fantastic. Yeah. Just cut the top off, scoop them out, and you've got a ready-made edible container, haven't you? Courgettes this year actually are doing really well. Because a lot of veg have suffered a bit. But I do a veg thing on my website, and I was saying to the people that I communicate with about it, you know, this is one crop that is really enjoying the weather because it's had more, you know, moisture recently. It doesn't mind that the sun wasn't as hot and as good as it should have been, and they're cropping really heavily. And beans too. Do you grow runner beans?
Yes, we do.
Beans are very good this year.
Other people seem to have had beans sort of appear coffee already, but I haven't. But we've only got a very small plot, and it's actually a bit shaded.
No, it's lovely to be here.
But with courgettes, you've got to pick them regularly, otherwise they do turn into marrows.
They do turn into marrows, and also when we're getting sort of muggy weather like this, if you don't pick them quite promptly when they're little, they get the rotting bit at the end because the flower rots off.
Exactly. So you've got to cut that last inch off, haven't
you? Well, what I always say to people, because sometimes that makes it a bit bitter, is your neighbours will think you need to get out more, but you should go into the garden regularly when the weather's as it is now and damp intermittently, and twist off the flower once the fruit on the courgette is about, say, 2-2.5 inches long. Oh, it doesn't need the flower anymore, and if you remove it, I guess it's a bit like taking the appendix out, as it were, then there's nothing there to rot, so the rot can't spread into the fruit.
You're removing that source of rot. Yeah, good thinking. I will do that.
Because smelly job,
coming,
then.
Coming. Smelly job. Pippa, I know that we need to let you go, but it's been a pleasure to meet you and talk to you today.
Lovely to be here, and yes, I want to go and have a good rootle around the show.
You must go and rootle around the show, and Penny's here hosting you today, who will take you from rootling and more judging, I think, and looking. But thank you very much. Enjoy Taunton Flower Show this year, and thank you for talking to Ten Radio.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
This is Ten Radio, community radio for the Ten Parishes on 105.3 FM. Or you can hear us on the web at tenradio.org.